Today we have privilege to welcome a speaker to us. When he came, he was surprised to see that this is Communion Saturday. He thought he was underdressed. No, no such thing as underdressed. It's Canon Rinzi. We think that Canon is someone, whoa, very up there, but no, he's very down to earth, and we want him to share the Word of God with us. Can we give a warm welcome to Rev. Canon?
I greet you in Jesus' name, and your response would be amen. That's the best way I can greet you. I cannot greet you in the name of Nigeria, who we're struggling with corruption and many other thing else. And today is our independence, by the way. I thought I was coming for fellowship, honestly, so I just came out this way. And I was standing up there, and I saw people coming this way, and I thought, oh, they have another service. That's wonderful. I'll just wait for my fellowship people. And so I sent to Mrs. Quek a WhatsApp message. I said, Mrs. Quek, I'm supposed to be speaking here, and I'm outside. I'm waiting for the fellowship people. She says, oh, it's down at the sanctuary. In my mind, I just said, no. Because I had already seen the Reverend welcoming people in his cassock. I said, it cannot be. And she says, oh, come. And as I walk in, I see hundreds of faces. Oh, my God. So first, I want to apologize by appearing before you like this. I promise tomorrow I'll not look like this. Try to be at my best. And of course, while that was happening, I had to send WhatsApp to my dad and tell him, I said, I'm in trouble. I was asked to speak, and I just appeared in jeans, and I see 100 of Asian faces behind me. I don't know what to do. And he has not said anything yet. I'll be speaking. I've been asked to share my testimony. And really, I'd like to just, I know this is, I'm very African, very Nigerian, I mean, you can see from my skin color, I don't need to tell you anymore. We do things, you know, we react. So we're not like Singaporeans, you're well planned, everything. I mean, your city is planned, your MRT, you know, if you go out, you're going here, so time, everything, you queue up for everything. You're all so organized. No, in Nigeria, we react to, you know, the way the things go on. So permit me to be as Nigerian as possible, please. Worship team, please, could you? I know. Just come back. Exactly. Yes. Can we have the last song? The last song we just sang? I'd really want us to sing it again. It's in line with what I want to share today. Because, I mean, many of you are maybe aware of my testimony, and that's what you all hear. And I'm not really here to look for sympathy and all of that, but I'm here to tell you that God is on the throne. Even when things seem to be bad, they only seem to be bad for us. For Him, things are not bad. It's only going towards an expected end. Amen. Come on. Yes. Let's sing it. You're not a God.
Chorus?
The whole song. Come on, we'll sing together.
We start with you're not a God.
You are not a God created by human. Stop. Just a minute. I do not exactly think you believe what you're singing. While I was taking a shower today, an Indian friend of mine was telling me about a thief who went on pilgrimage and stole a Buddhist god. I do not know if your god can be stolen. I see these words, and I see y'all sitting down. Oh, come on. Let's sing. Jesus. Come on, clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Amen. 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 Unchangeable, unshakable. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Please sit down. Now, from where we had our very first reading, we see Brother Joseph. And for the sake of this sharing, I'll call him Brother Joe. Brother Joe is a wonderful guy. I have a feeling he's a Singaporean. Because y'all Singaporeans are so intelligent. My God. I mean, you have your buildings, your everything. You're just A. You guys are excellent. I mean, I have a feeling that many of you will commit suicide if your grades are not all A. You know, because you're so excellent. And you're a combination of wild people. I'll tell you what I mean by that. I mean, you have Chinese here. Chinese create anything. You know, everything nowadays is made in China. Good or bad, it's all made in China. Brilliant people. And then you have Indians. Oh my God. Indians are another brainy set. In fact, we had an Indian man who in Nigeria went to look for a job, you know, and he came with his little briefcase and he presented his PhDs, you know, and everything. And they said, oh, this is nice, but we would have really loved it if the person that was going to take this job also had maybe some little knowledge in this other field. And he says, wait, wait, wait. And he opens his bag and brings out another PhD. And they say, well, okay, I think you seem to have all of this, but do you maybe have an idea of this? And he says, wait, wait, wait. And he opens and brings out another PhD. And they said, look, we know this, your bag at this moment has all sorts of PhDs, so we'll just give you the job. You know, very intelligent people. And of course, you meet with the Indians and the Chinese who love marketing. Chinese, everything is business. You know, everything is business, and Indians, everything is bargaining. Oh, yes. I mean, we have Indians who would say, how much is this pencil? And they say, it's 1,500. 1,500, why? Because it has a cleaner. Okay, take out the cleaner. How much is it now? I mean, Chinese and Indians all in this place. You're a box of brains here. And so somehow I see that you will be able to understand the story and the context of Joseph being a very intelligent young man. And in his quest to just want to be a wonderful kid, he runs into the danger of being envied. That looks a lot like Singapore to me. Because you guys are just a tiny red, exactly. Just a tiny red dot. Just like Joseph, who is nearly the last of his brothers. So the temptation of wanting to be, you just want to be yourself and people just envy you. It's there. So Singaporeans, I believe you'll understand the context of what I'm talking about. However, this other side you may not know, which is what we're here to talk about. That Joseph gets, you know, cooked up and all of that, and he ends up being sold and resold, and then finally he lands in Egypt. And this whole period while Joseph was going through all of this, if Joseph was a Nigerian, I'll tell you the first thing he would say, God, why me? Where are you? I have worshipped you for all my days. I have never forgotten to go to church. In fact, I put my tithe last week. You know, Nigerians, we give God a lot of condition. You know, God, if you release me from this moment, I will give you all my money. And then you get released and you say, well, God, you understand, I have to feed. Oh, Nigerians, we bargain with God. And Joseph went through all of this only for him to end up as the prime minister of Egypt. Backtrack. If you ask Joseph, where do you think you're going to be in the next 20, 10 years while all those troubles were going on, he would possibly tell you maybe in another prison or in the hands of another slave master. But you see, nobody knows the end. Only God knows the end. Because he is seated on his throne and he sees everything and he knows the end. I know people want me to share my story, and I want to share my story, but I need you to understand my story in the context of Scripture, because nothing happens in the absence of God. God is aware of every single thing that is happening to you. And you may think you're going through some tough time right now. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, tomorrow may be worse. But there's something I want to assure you of. In the worst situation of tomorrow, God is already waiting for you there. Better still, he's waiting for you at the good side. No prime minister without prison. Okay, I don't mean LKY. Okay, I don't know much of LKY. I don't think he went through prison, but he would have gone through a lot of stuff in his life to make him who he was. And so my story about being attacked and all of those, only God knew that if my family was not attacked at the time we were attacked, I would have had nothing possibly to share with you today. Or I would have never even been called to speak to you guys today. So God already knew that you would be here today and your hearts would want to hear what I have to say. So he had to take me through the hell I went through to be able to talk to you today. God is just good. We seem to have bad times. We seem to have unfortunate situations. For God, it's only going to an expected end. And my story of being attacked, I'm sure I shared a little bit the other time I was here. The other thing I didn't tell you was that we've been attacked many times. I mean, this is not the first. It's not the second. It's not even the third. We've seen attacks. Look, at this point of my life, I am not scared of death. I'm even looking for what will kill me right now. Look, we're all going to die someday. You know. We're all going to die someday. Car crash, air crash, sleep crash, MRT crash, whatever crash. Yo, even if you don't crash, you'll sleep and die someday. We're all going to die. So I'm not scared of death. And the only thing that all these attacks did was only to make me stronger in Jesus Christ. Because Paul would say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So whichever way you do, you kill him, he'll be a pest to your ears. Any way you go about it. And when these guys came and they had their time to attack us, they spent the whole time, 2 hours to break into the house, no police, no military, nothing, no response. We had neighbors, nobody made a move. Until they came in, beat my mother until she was half dead. She was bleeding from up, bleeding from down, bleeding from everywhere. They did unspeakable things to my mother, and I was watching. There were 2 men guarding me with rifles, and my younger brother, and they kept... I don't even know how to explain it to you. Some of these things, even movies will not tell you. They won't even show. Because, I mean, these are things that you can, at best, imagine. Even that. I think your imagination will get to a certain point. It can't go beyond. And my mother became blind. Not because she was born blind. Not because she didn't take her nutrients, or not because she's Singaporean. You see, all of you use glasses, you know. You read a lot, so you all need glasses at a certain age. No, that was not the cause of hers. She was hit with bottles on her head, with clubs on her head. She had a lot of brain damage. My mother became like an autistic person. She would stand and she just became like a living vegetable. And at that point, I could tell you, I definitely asked God, where are you? You're watching? And I know many of you right now are asking, like, what kind of good God would let bad things happen to good people? Right? He was watching. And he didn't do anything. At that time, my father had traveled. He was in the UK. And he was actually supposed to come back because the real person they were looking for was him. He was the real person they wanted. So all those things they did to us at home was so that if he was hiding somewhere, he would eventually come out. And at the end, when he didn't come out, they decided to make it look like a robbery and stole jewelry, stole money, stole my little raggedy old guitar. We could have it. I have a better one now. And they went away. and dragged my mother for about 2 miles on the floor, naked, dragged her to the office, thinking he was hiding there, dragged her by her hair on the ground, on the tar, bleeding, naked. Come on, God. All those questions, they were there. God, you're watching my mom being dragged on the tar, naked. Come on, how much worse could it get? And she's bleeding. God, aren't you going to do something? And God was just, Doesn't this kind of remind you of Job? Where you receive all the bad news in one day. And you see, many of us really love to preach about Job and tell you how all those things happen. Well, here's my own Job situation now. How does it feel? And they got to the office, discovered he was not there. Out of anger, they beat her some more. They did all this to her in 4 hours. They had a field's day on this woman for 4 hours. Haven't done that, they got tired and left her lying half dead by the roadside. Okay, so I'm not talking about some, you know, this is a person who is well respected at least in our place, and she was left half dead, looking like a mentally insane person just around. Left for the son to just beat her dead. And my father tried to make phone calls and everything, but nothing would just go through. I tried to call the police. I tried to call the governor. I tried to call all my friends in the military. The phone lines were just cut off. These guys were well prepared. And at the end of it all, one of the prayers my father prayed, he said, God, have you abandoned me again? And at that time, Singapore was praying. The Diocese of Singapore was praying. Many of you were praying for us. I'm sure many of you prayed for us and didn't know who we were. Well, here I am now. Ta-da. Many of you prayed for us. America was praying. England was praying. Australia was praying. Everybody was praying. And you know what God told my father? And I quote, he said, you cannot ask me where I am. You cannot ask me if I have forgotten you. You know why? I'll tell you. When those in America are awake in the daytime, they are praying, God, save the Kwashi family. Then when those in America are about to go to sleep, those in Nigeria are waking up and they are praying, Lord, help Bishop Kwashi's family. Then when those in Nigeria are about to go to sleep, those in Singapore are just waking up and they're saying, Lord, he said, can't you see the whole world is disturbing me with just your name? Oh, God is just wonderful. And after that whole experience, Zondervan, who book publishing, decided to send somebody to, I mean, many things happened. Suddenly, Christians all around gathered together, donated, made donations, and got my mother to fly to the States for treatment. And by the grace of God, she received treatment. And today she can see. It's a miracle. It's not because the doctors are good, but God needed to do something. Out of that situation, when she was taken to the hospital in Nigeria, my father came with mosquito nets, you know, to put her in a net and everything. And when she opened her eyes and she saw the mosquito net and discovered she was the only person in mosquito net, she tore it down. I mean, she's half blind, but she could see a little bit. Said, why am I in net? She tore it down. And we said, are you okay? Why are you taking the net down? She said, I'm the only person in this room with a mosquito net. If you want me to use a mosquito net, get for everybody else a mosquito net. And we did. And it became news in town that some sick woman decided everybody must have a mosquito net before she would have a mosquito net. After she got better, she suddenly had a passion to want to look after orphans, and that's what she does now. And I just, you know, backtrack to say, if we had not been attacked in that way, would she have gone out looking out for orphans? But you see, God had planned for those orphans, and the only way he could get us to do that was to beat us up. So you see, when Paul says, all things work for good for them that love God, first of all, you have to be loving God. Amen. You have to be loving God. You can't just sit, you don't like God, and then things are not working out well, and say, God, but you said everything is going to work out. You have to love God first. And I just want to say to you right now, I really love God. I do love God. And that was our story. Shortly after, we were attacked again. This time around, they came, they met my dad at home. They took him outside to kill him and decided, well, we're going to kill you inside. And they took him back inside. And of course, they'd beaten me up because they seem to have a connection. They know who's the stubborn one. So the first person they looked for when they came into the house, they said, where's Rinji? Where's his room? And I was like, there. I said, yo, Rinji, boom, boom, boom. I've not done anything yet. I'm sure in their minds they say, yeah, we're beating you because maybe later you're going to do something. So here's the beat for what you're going to do later. And they did. And after they got him to kneel down, then he said, well, if you're going to kill me, I think it would be easier for me to just prostrate down so that the pain of dying, you know. And as he laid down, my mother joined him and they were praying together. And these guys just left. I don't know what they saw. I don't know what they heard. But no police, nothing. They just left. God is on the throne. God is on the throne. You see, what looks like bad to us, it's actually good in the long run. Because if Joseph had not gone through all of that, I don't know what kind of prime minister he would have been. And right now, I'm just hoping that my testimony in one way or another will... I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I'm okay. I'm okay. Trust me. I'm very well. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. But I want you to feel encouraged that if you're going through any bad times right now, it's only bad in your eyes. Just keep on loving God. It has a good end. It always has a good end. After all, what can you go through more than Jesus who died on the cross? Keep your faith. Stand firm. He is God on the throne. He's not on holiday. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He knows your story. He knows your situation. And he is ready to make it have a good end. Amen.